Hi, this is a Friday night hangout with Craft Beer Nation, and I am hosting because our regular hosts are not here, and so we couldn't ask them to host, so I am hosting. I am Lola Laracy, and we are here with a fine panel of people. You know them. You love them. We got Charles Dunsey, Doug Nolan, Linda Dean, who we don't see often, but we love her, and Ricky Potts and myself, Lola Laracy. So we are going to start with the lady. Linda, you tell me what you got. What you drinking?
Today I am drinking Oscar Blues Mama's Yellow Pills. Mama's Little Yellow Pills. And let's see. This they actually advertise this as unlike mass market pilsners that are diluted with corn and rice. Mama's is built with 100% pale malt, German specialty malts and Saaz hops. I hope I'm saying that right. it has 35 IBUs and its ABV is about 3.48, I think. Almost, 5.38.
Okay.
And it's actually, I'm really enjoying it. It's got a lovely yellow color to it. It's got a lovely bitterness, low-end bitterness on the back end. It's nice and crisp and clean, and it's easy to drink.
And I almost bought one, so I'm glad I didn't.
Actually, it's pretty worth it. I mean, it might be a little less than some people expect, but it's very nice. It's really nice for a hot day.
It's Oscar Blues. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
They brew good beer. Isn't that what
sure do.
Yep. They can brew.
They can brew.
That's what he says. They can brew. They can. Oscar, it does not give me the blues when it comes to beer.
Oh, well said. Tweet that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll remember. So, Linda, I've never heard of that hop. What is it? Saaz?
Saaz hops. S-A-A-Z hops.
I've never
Somebody
heard of
that.
Somebody
correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it may be one of the noble hops.
Yes, it is.
All right, and y'all are going to explain to me what that means, right?
I don't know if I can give you an explanation of exactly what noble hops are, if I could go to the Googles, but I'm not on my phone. But there's only like a handful. I feel like there's like four or five. It's like Saaz, Hallertau, I think Tettengang, maybe. I'm sure somebody can.
I'm going to the Google.
We need Ashley Google. Here. Where's Ashley? Ashley, get your butt.
But they're all generally, you know, like all like German style hops for German style beers.
It's funny that you say that and you call them noble hops when they are. But there's a place in Tucson that's probably the best beer bar in Tucson, and it's called Noble Hops. So when I type in noble hops, that's the first thing that pops up.
So okay. Funny, you mentioned Tucson because there's a girl I work with that didn't know how to pronounce Tucson, and we were at work the other day, and she said, I don't know what we're talking about. She's like Tuscan, Arizona.
That's so odd.
Like, no, that's Tucson.
That makes me happy.
See, wasn't there like a cereal that had like the Tucson bird or something? I remember being. Maybe that I guess
Fruit
I think
Loops.
It's
Fruit Loops, yeah.
Fruit Loops had a toucan on it.
And see, I always would hear that and think they were saying Tucson. And so that's when I learned about Tucson, because I thought they were the same thing, but I just thought they didn't know how to pronounce it or somebody was pronouncing it wrong. That's probably not really related to what Doug said. But that's weird. That how can you go your whole life and not know how to say Tucson?
Doug, I don't know if you said Spalt, but Spalt is the other one that was missing.
Is there only what are the other ones?
There's four. There's I don't know how to even pronounce that. Saaz.
Hallertau.
Yeah, Tettengang and Spalt.
Yeah, the Tet. What is it called?
Tettengang.
Tettnanger. Tettnanger.
Tettnanger. Yeah.
Look, now, I don't know what y'all do in your private lives, but that sounds illegal.
It's only illegal in 34 states.
It says the noble hops are low in bitterness and high in aroma.
Oh, well, that makes sense, because these are not very bitter beers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want them to be overtly hoppy.
Especially when you look at a lot of the German-style beers that use a lot of these noble hops, they are known for, especially like these Pilsners, are known for that really clean, crisp finish, and you don't really tend to get that, bitterness. It is more for the flavor and the aroma.
And it also says on here that there's now an English noble hops, which is where Fuggle and Golding fall into.
Okay.
So England's having to steal everything from Germany. it's been 80 years since the war. People, get over it. Okay.
I think Saaz is probably like the most common of the noble hops. I think in a lot of these, particularly Czech pilsners.
Yeah.
Like the yellow Mama's Yellow Pils is a Czech pilsner.
Yeah,
Definitely one of the nicer Czech pilsners that I've had. It definitely has flavor to it. It's not something I just want to slug down, but it's definitely drinkable.
Yeah, you want to relax with it and take your time.
Yeah. I want to appreciate it like a true beer snob.
Exactly. You want to take your time. You want to sit out on the patio on a Saturday afternoon and drink it.
Go ahead and let it critique it.
You sit out on a Saturday afternoon with the sun, and the blue sky and a few clouds, and you're laying back on the lawn chair, and you're watching your boyfriend as he does the lawn, and you're like, don't forget that part over there. And then
don't cut down my roses.
As a golfer who plays golf when it's hot outside during the summer.
As a golfer that doesn't play golf.
A lot of golf courses on Bev carts have the typical Bud Light and all, like where's like just the big macro stuff, and I want to see brewing companies starting to get some representation on golf courses, because one, beer sells on golf courses. But this would be a style that would make a lot of sense to transition into, because it's not like a barrel aged style. You're not gonna see that on the sixth hole. But like a style like this, like the light lagers that are still,
Ricky, it is so funny that you mentioned that, because Caldera has taken up that challenge.
Oh.
Really?
Their lawnmower lager is available on all our major golf courses and is actually selling really well.
You want to know what's so funny that you mentioned that particular beer? That's the beer that I had before this one that I said was 3% that I spent my untapped check in. I'm like, yeah, I could drink a gallon of this stuff because it's so easy to drink. And it's that lawnmower lager from Caldera. So
I picked that up for $5.99 a six-pack, and it's pretty good when you're just thirsty.
That's a dollar a beer.
Yeah.
That's crazy price.
It's great, and it's great for sticking out there on the golf courses, because I sure do want to see Caldera being paid more than I want to see Miller Coors or Bud Light out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, too, like, and kind of in segue to the beer that I'm drinking, but, like, when you were mentioning, the flavor and the quality of, of these beers, and it's like, I'm drinking a North Carolina beer, Mother Earth. Park Day Bohemian style Pilsner. Mm. Somebody may have to go to the Googles for Bohemian style versus Czech. But you get these beers, and they have kind of that same light lager, kind of characteristics you might find in some of the macro stuff, but you get that really smooth malt flavor. You don't get that kind of, corn sweetness that you get from the macro. So, yes, I get like some of the flavor profiles may be similar in the styles, but just because you get that, they're all malt and not the corn, they're more flavorful.
All right, I'm looking at Bohemian style.
Yeah, and the Pilsner, was it Urquell or whatever? That's considered the classic example of that Bohemian style Pilsner.
Hey, I'm not there yet. Yeah, that's my second beer, and I got a story about that beer.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, that's...
And that's like the original, I think.
Yeah.
As far as the style itself goes.
But now I'm curious what the difference is between those, because I'm drinking a Cascade Pilsner, which I assume Cascade is the hops they use. It doesn't say anything, but wanting to know now, I'm curious what the differences are.
Okay, I've got the 2008 guidelines up because that's what came up. A Bohemian Pilsner, it says it's rich with complex malt and a spicy floral Saz hot bouquet. Some diacetyl, but not necessary. No fruity esters. Uses Moravian malted barley. Decoction mash. Saz hops, it says. Again, low sulfate, low carbonate water. Traditional yeast. And it says it was first brewed in 1842. So that's that. German Pilsners.
I would assume that if you were to do a search for, like, what's the difference between Bohemian style and Czech style, there may be some sort of breakdown.
Yeah, maybe that's something we'll do if no one else has done. Because right now it's really kind of hard to tell. I'm like, I don't know. They seem the same to me.
Yeah, it'll be.
And Charles, what's in your glass with that gigantic foam on top? That you need a spoon to eat.
Has the head gone down yet?
A little bit.
Yeah, it has
like a snow cone.
Yeah, I've got the Dogfish Head My Antonia. It is there. It's an Imperial Pilsner. I think it comes in at 7.7%. This is, this is also continuously hopped, like the their 60, 90, and 120 minute. I think this was the first beer they started continuously hopping before they moved to the IPAs.
Oh, wow.
But I have to go back and check.
Okay. Squall
may have been
the first continually hopped, which is bottle conditioned. Naturally carbonated 90 minute.
Cool.
Charles, I think you're having an issue.
Yeah, this is like super carbonated.
Wow.
I hope it's not infected. Do you think it might be?
I haven't seen that much head since.
Family show, Doug.
Yeah,
family show.
Stopped.
Okay, now I can't imagine that's acceptable in the technical sense of what a Pilsner should have. That seems way over carbonated.
Yeah, maybe I don't know if it's the glass helping it, you know, because I've got that typical.
God,
it looks very long and narrow.
Well, I'll get back to this in about an hour.
Okay,
that's an egg beater. It's an egg beater Pilsner.
That's what it looks like.
But earlier today, I did have the Lagunitas Pils, which is Czech Pils. That's, as far as American Pilsners go, that's my favorite. That's really, really good beer. And I also had...
Sorry, I was going to ask you, what do you see the difference between an American and a Czech style? Is an American milder to you?
For me, it's got more of a little bit more of a hoppy profile, a little bit more of a citrusy profile.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I also had a Firestone, was it Pivo Hoppy Pils?
Yeah, beer rocks.
Pivo Pils.
And I actually was a little disappointed in that one, but maybe it's because I had it right after the Lagunitas Pils, so it may not have been a fair comparison. Because it just seemed a little bit lighter and like less flavor, but again, it may just be because I had it right after the pills, the Lagunitas. I'll have to get another Pivo and try that by itself on a clean palate.
Do you know how old your Pivo was?
I don't know. It's in a can, but I have no idea. I have to look to see if there's a date on it.
I thought that was a fantastic Pilsner when I had.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome too. They've not been canning that for long. I mean, it's only been canned for not long.
Probably not even a year.
Pretty recent, then.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad, but it was just a little bland compared to the Lagunitas Pils.
And it's
still waiting for the head to go down.
It's funny that you say that about the American style being hoppier, and you hadn't said that, and I'm thinking he's going to say hoppier, because that's the same thing that I get out of the American style. I almost wonder if that's just... the obsession that American brewing companies have with, let's see how many hops we can throw into every beer style, regardless of what the beer style is. And, you know, I'm sitting here, and the one that I'm drinking right now, is an American style, and it's like the hops just not destroy my palate. Like, that's all I can taste after a drink. Like, it's just the back half of my palate is all hops. And
which one are you drinking, Ricky?
So I had the Full Sail, and okay. I got this, and then the next beer I'm going to pull out is the Pilsner Urquell, which is kind of what I would consider like the original. Like, when you think of a Pilsner, you think Pilsner Urquell. And I got this because I originally was staying at Total Wine, and I'm like, I was probably looking at the Pilsner section for 10 minutes trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I had any combination of four or five bottles and cans in my cart at one time. And I was going to do a can versus a bottle, and then I changed my mind, then I was going to do just both, just Czech Pilsners, and I decided to do an American style, and I'm glad that we talked a little bit about the difference in between the two, because I'm going from American to Czech versus going the opposite direction, but I've had Pilsner Urquell 1,000 times, so I have a feeling I know that it's going to be just cleaner and more crisp, but this beer is pretty fantastic.
So when I think American Pils, I think Victory Prima Pils. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, that's a hopped up Pilsner, but like how you said, the Full Sail one that you're having right now, it's like extremely hoppy, it sounds like, what yeah. you're saying. And,
yeah.
and so that, like, when I think American Pils, I was thinking that Charles was going to say hoppy as well, right? Because, you know, that's just what we do with beer. We hop it up, but I don't think the intention is to hop it beyond all hoppedness. Right. I mean, I think the difference is it can be the American has a range. It can be subtly hoppier, or it can be a whole lot hoppier.
Yeah.
But on average, just hoppier yeah. describes the American, whereas the classic Czech is, like you just said, Pilsner Urquell all day. You get like much more, get a little bit more sweetness on the Pilsner Urquell. It's so much more drinkable, yeah. I think. Like,
100%.
I mean, like, in my world of beer, they when you order a Pilsner Urquell, they give it to you in like this huge Pilsner Urquell mug. And like, you think it's like so much beer, but it's like really low in alcohol.
Yeah.
And you start drinking it, and it just goes down so easily, right? I mean, it's just delicious. And before you know it, you've drank this big mug of beer, and you want another one.
And you're like, more!
Because it's so clean. It's so
yeah,
clean.
That's what I want. That's what I want right there, especially in hot weather. And, yeah, that sounds really... That totally makes me want to run out and buy one right now.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's, Pilsner Urquell, I think, if you... When we think about a beer that we want on a hot summer day, because it's so popular, we never say Pilsner Urquell. But that's what we really want, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's so appropriate. It's an effortless drink.
Randy, for the people in our audience and me who don't know what Urquell is, can you explain?
Oh, Pilsner Urquell, no, that's just the name of the brewery
that makes the beer. Okay.
Yeah. They're the originators of the Pilsner style of beer.
So they're old time.
Huh? Yeah, and I think they're in I think the name of the city is Pilsen.
Yeah.
Is that where the Pilsen? Name comes from?
Pilsen.
Yeah, something like that. Pilsen.
Germany.
Okay, they've
been making
it. That's actually in Bohemia in the Czech Republic.
And oh, okay.
That's the one that's been brewed since 1842. And yeah, even so though they're Yeah, even though they're macro owned now, they still brew in that same town today.
I didn't know they were macro owned.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Who owns them?
Let me double check which one it is. It's one of the big three, though.
Did I just miss that Pilsner's macro? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
now, being macro owned doesn't necessarily mean the beer quality is going to go down.
No, it doesn't.
But it's still a put-off if, you know, if it's a certain company that you really don't like.
But see, to that point, though, like, I'm not going to stop drinking Goose Island. On the back of this bottle, I got a bottle of Pilsner Urquell. I mean, it says that it's still brewed and bottled, et cetera, in Pilsen, Czech Republic. Like, it's, who makes the profit off of it in this capacity?
And it's actually been part of the Saab Miller group.
Yeah, Saab Miller, yeah.
It has been since 1999, so it wasn't a recent acquisition. Yeah. So This is a beer that has survived being owned by the Macro.
I'm not going to be buying any more Pilsner Urquell. judge me if you want. I don't care, but I choose to vote with my dollar, and I don't want to put.
And that's the only power we have.
I do agree to a point. Now I'll buy from Saab Miller, but I will not buy anything that is owned by Anheuser-Busch anymore.
I got nothing for them.
And it's a choice. I mean, you could argue the beer it can still be good, and you want to support the people making it, blah blah blah. But you could also argue, this is the only power I have, whether to buy or not to buy, and I'm going to exercise that power.
So I don't knock anybody. If you want to, you know what I'm saying, do that's your business. But personally, I mean, you can say that, you know, I'm a jerk or whatever, because it's supposed to be about the beer. Well, for me, it's not just about the beer. It's about ethics. It's about
not really because you're creating competition right there. By not buying that, all of a sudden you're going to be looking for somebody else who's going to make a Pilsner just as good that you like, and all of a sudden they're going to be looking for you.
And that way Miller is on its toes. That way companies like Miller know we can't just phone it in. We have to work to win back these people. Whether they win you back or not, you know, that's to be foreseen, but, you know, they know they have to work if they want to win people back.
Yeah, and over on our craftbeernation.org, I posted an article earlier in the week about tonight's hangout in the Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
And I give I listed a few different types, because basically you have your Czech Pilsner, your German Pilsner, and your like European Pilsner. And I have some examples listed of each. And there's a little asterisk denoting which ones that I've listed are macro-owned.
Okay.
Which I was surprised to find out some of them are macaron. I had no idea. Pilsner Urquell was a big surprise to me. I had no idea. And it's been owned for, almost 20 years, 30 years.
This might be the crispest, cleanest beer I've had in a long time. That is just so good.
Too bad they're macaron.
You'll never buy it again. it's not really a story, but the first cask of unfiltered, unpasteurized Pilsner Urquell to ever leave the Czech Republic came to Arizona last year.
Yeah.
And their brewmaster actually came to open the cask, and we got the opportunity to try it with him. And it was a really cool opportunity to be able to... And the flavor was whatever. It was just imagine this, only not carbonated, and maybe a little bit cleaner. But it was just a really cool experience, and they this year are doing five of them are coming to the state of Arizona. So bars are kind of vying and fighting for votes to get the next wave of them. But it was really cool to be able to have I got a full pint out of the first cask ever outside of the country. So
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was a cool opportunity, and it was neat because I mean there was probably 150 people there, and he opened the cask like with the hammer and everything, and Cheryl actually got a really cool video of it because she was right there like filming the whole thing, and it was a really cool
my world of beer. They so that they have like one of the actual Pilsner Urquell tap handles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so like cool. Like with this one, like it doesn't look like any of the other tap handles in the bar. It's like a $200 tap handle.
Mm.
And it like they can pour that beer three different ways. It can basically give you three different styles of or three different variations of that beer from that one tap handle.
That's I didn't know a tap handle could do that.
Yeah, but it's not it, when you think tap handle, don't the tap handle that you're thinking about right now, don't think that. Doesn't look anything like what you're thinking. It's like it comes out like a spout and goes down. And that you don't tip it forward. They actually like turn it. Okay. You grab it and you turn it to the side. You turn it towards you, and the way they hold the glass will give you like three different types of Pilsner for three different ways to pour it to give you three different experiences.
You think about the different ways they did it?
I've only gotten the regular one.
Yeah, they should do like a flight. Like they should do like where you get all three.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, how different can you do it? I mean, I guess like really foamy or not foamy at all.
Well, Pilsner should have about two fingers of head, 2 to 3 fingers of head. It's more foamy because it's so crispy, so you can keep all that carbonation under the foam.
So it doesn't lose carbonation like other beers might.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of really foamy beers, Charles, did your beer ever go down? Y'all missed it. Randy and Gil, you missed it, but his, it was like this high. It was crazy.
Yeah, I did. I finally got to really take a proper taste, and it does taste like the beer has turned, unfortunately.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I think it's kind of the dark side.
Which is disappointing, so I'm going to have to look for this again to give it a proper try. So I've to save and make up for my, you know, make up for it, I had to move over to some IPAs.
Okay.
Yeah, when you, I knew that beer turned. Like, you poured just like a little bit, and it was like,
I had exploded. I was like, that's not normal.
That beer that's is normal. Done.
I mean, I'm bad at pouring, but I couldn't pour that bad of a pour.
Just a tiny little pour, and there it goes.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not normal.
So the for Pilsner, there's the three different pours. Are there's a crisp, there's a smooth, and there's milk. The crisp is a pour with a regular amount of foam that's well suited for drinking over a longer period. Maximum carbonation keeps the beer refreshing. Smooth is a larger amount of head and less carbonation, means the beer is smoother, creamier and more suited for drinking over a shorter period. Milk is a glass of creamy beer foam with a small amount of beer in the bottom of the glass, best enjoyed at the end of a meal.
That sounds like so a who's, burp fest.
That's really
so
cool.
Who's going to brew a nitro pilsner? Anyone nitro pilsner yet?
Why would they?
Why would they?
Yeah, I don't know. They seem to nitro everything now.
Yeah, that's true. Pilsners are very foamy, just like original pilsner are normally very foamy. I mean, like in Brazil, you drink pilsner like you drink Bud Light here. Like most of our beers there are pilsners. So, and we call, you know, either the tap or the draft that you call there. So that's what most pilsners are served in. And you normally get that nice head. It is like Randy said, you can ask, what we ask is a tall head and a low head, and then it will pour like a big foamy, which is kind of weird. I don't think it's the best way to drink. You get a lot of aeration and foam.
That's when I get gassy. When you do that, that's when I'm like belching and I'm like, ugh.
You know what's crazy though is like the glass that Charles has is a Pilsner glass.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the glass that Pilsner Urquell is served in, is not that glass at all. Hmm. It's like a big glass mug. Like if I know people who are watching can't see the link I just posted, but if you look at the link that I just posted, the glass that's in the picture,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly the Pilsner. That's exactly how their mug looks that they sent to World of Beer to serve this beer in. It's not at all a Pilsner glass.
Yeah, I bet that's a cultural thing. You think maybe that's like a German thing or something?
It looks almost like a barrel glass.
Right, it's huge.
Yeah. No, a Pilsner, there's two ways you can serve. The German Pilsner has the tulip, kind of a tulip Pilsner. And then you can also serve in a dimpled mug.
Yeah, so yeah.
There, that's the glass right there, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a mug.
Yeah, there's dimples. That mug has little dimples on it.
Yeah. The one the World Brother Bear gave me didn't have any dimples at all.
No, yeah, that's funny. Because, you know, Oktoberfest beers, like, they're very close related to the taste-wise, profile-wise. Mm-hmm. They're just not as crispy. Mm-hmm.
I love Oktoberfest beers. My favorite mug I have, I'm going to have to bring it out sometime. I do every Oktoberfest. I have one of the really big Oktoberfest mugs.
Yep. We get them from Block 15 every year. They are massive.
I know.
I can't wait. I'm going this year. I'm so excited to just... That's all I want to do. Like, just go to Hofbrauhaus, get a gigantic mug, and then
I hope you take video or pictures or something.
Oh, there will be video, picture. Oh yeah.
You need to report live as Craft Nation.
They got a hop rye house in Pittsburgh you can go to instead of going to Germany.
Go to the one in Vegas. The one in Vegas sucks.
Let the man go to Germany. He can let him go.
I'm also doing Prague, and we're going to do a couple other countries, too. So it's not just for October. That's why we're going, is for Oktoberfest, but the other
But you know, in Germany, Oktoberfest is not in October anymore.
No, right? It's in September.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
It's too hot in October.
Is it really that hot up there?
That's too hot. Just, I think it's hot. People standing out and drinking a lot of alcohol.
I guess so.
So they have it in September?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last week in September, first part of October.
September should be warmer, right?
Is September not hotter than October?
No, I think I said it wrong. I think it's getting too cold.
Oh.
I was like,
wait, are they in the southern hemisphere and their seasons are opposite from us?
I was like, they're way more north than we are. They're like up.
No. Sorry, I said it the opposite.
That makes sense. It's too cold in October.
Yeah,
the folks playing at home.
It's not too cold. It's just the weather. Yeah, it can be colder. So since it's a big party, there's a lot of money, a lot of investment. September is a more reliable time to do.
So basically, they're monetized. It's financial concerns.
I
think they want people to be able to enjoy themselves and not have to worry about the elements.
Yeah.
They're German. They're hardy.
It's a lot of non-Germans at Oktoberfest.
Just Ricky. That's all. Of course, Ricky is not used to cold because you're in Arizona, so.
It was 78 when I left work today. It was freezing.
Lord. That's freezing?
78 is freezing?
I was so cold.
That's not right. 78 is like, oh my god, I start airing myself out at 78. That's when I'm like, I start blowing them. Okay. Alright. I'm in Florida. It gets muggy here.
Anybody else on their second beer yet?
I didn't talk about my first.
Yeah.
Hold on, Ricky Paws. Ricky Paws, settle down.
Ricky's on his fourth.
Ricky? I'm almost ready to go to number three. Yeah, four. Jeez.
Just because you have a 3% beer doesn't mean everyone else does.
Okay, Ricky, here I am. I'm on my second.
Wait, no. We still
I'm happy now. The girl needs to talk about his first.
Gil, go ahead. What's your first beer?
It's not technically my second because I just had a Prima Pils for dinner, but for the hangout, I got a local beer here, well, close by, from Foothills Torch Pilsner. Okay. Really good on my little commercial of my bottle shop there, but you can see that's very, very crispy. It's a little too cold, maybe.
Very light.
Really light.
Yeah, very light.
Really clear.
I mean, you can see through this beer. I can actually... Look at that.
I see it a little better now. your monitor. It's kind
of... Yeah. It's a very, very crispy, very nice. There is a nice amount of hop. It's not as hoppy as the Prima Pils, but still, there's a little... You know, the hop comes through, you have that flavor, and really, really solid beer, yeah. If you can get your hands on the Foothills from Winston Sally.
That's a really nice label.
Yeah, and I think for the style, I would probably give 3.5, close to 4 to that beer. Really, really good beer. Really crispy, nice flavors, well-balanced for a Pilsner. Liked a lot.
Okay.
And this is the Pilsner is one of your favorite styles, Gil. I know you really really love this style of beer.
I like heavy beers like stouts, and that's my kind of thing. But I enjoy Pilsners a lot. On the light spectrum of beers, like on the low ABV and things like that, all the session IPAs and things, Pilsners is a beer that I enjoy a lot. I can drink a lot. It's almost like drinking a soda comparing to the other things I drink when it comes to beer.
Nice.
Well, what's funny is I've been a stout person for a long time. Either stout, sometimes brown ales and red ales. But as I get older, My stomach doesn't like them as much. So I'm finding that I'm liking this Pilsner, and my stomach says, you know what, I like this too, Lola. We may have something going on. Have we done Randy's beer? Randy, have you done your beer?
I am so far off style. I'm drinking a Russian.
That's right.
Russian Imperial Stout.
All right, then I'm gonna do my beer because I am on style, which doesn't happen a whole lot.
Excellent.
I've got Evil Twin, and she
cut her hair, and she has like a nice hairdo and everything.
I cut my hair. I cut my bangs. I've got makeup on. Can you see? Mm-hmm. Got makeup on.
So your shirt almost matches the color of the thing on the label.
I know, and I've got, you know, pink headphones and everything. I'm all dolled up.
Watch out, Lola's out to impress today.
I know. Well, I went out. I had Cajun food, so I'm in a good mood. I had gumbo.
Well, so I'm in a Pilsner good mood. And gumbo. That's a good combination.
That is a good combination. Because gumbo's spicy, so you don't want anything that's going to mix weird with the spicy. You want something smooth and clean to go.
So let me just get this clear. So your stomach don't take brown ale very well, but gumbo is just fine.
I only ate half the gumbo. I plan to eat the other half sometime around 2:00 in the morning
for breakfast.
And your stomach will be fine with that.
With the other half of the Pilsner.
Do you put a stopper on the dish, like a?
You know what?
On the leaf.
I've almost finished this. Look. Okay. It's here.
Well, go ahead and talk about it.
What do you drink? Yeah. What do you drink?
It's good. It's Evil Twin. Low Life. It's really good, and let me pour a little bit more so you can see. It's really good about, it's got a bit of a head there. I'm not very good at pouring. I'm not good at pouring at all. So I would make a lousy bartender. I can't pour for shit. Shoot. But, so there we go. It's very nice looking. It's got kind of like an orange, kind of amberish thing. So it's a little darker than the other ones that we've seen.
It looks unfiltered, right?
It looks unfiltered. I don't know if it is. I mean, the bottle doesn't say, so I don't know if it's unfiltered. I don't see any obvious sediment, but it's definitely opaque. It's not as clear as, like, Linda's and the other ones we've seen. But that could be from this being sort of an American beer. I haven't decided if Evil Twin is American or German or Danish. I'm not sure. I don't know if it knows.
He brews his beer in America. It's America.
Well, but the website is .de. What do you say about that, Randy Gardner?
Say what?
The website is .de.
I don't care where his website is.
He brews
his beer in America.
He brews America. In America. In fact, I looked up the website so I could see exactly where he brewed it, and he brewed it Two Roads Brewing Company in Connecticut.
America.
America
in Connecticut. Mark. Although people could argue, Connecticut doesn't sound very American. they're more like American.
Let's see who else we can offend.
No, that's a compliment. If I say they're not American, that's a compliment.
So you're offending the Americans, that's what you say.
Yeah.
No, I'm offending the people who say American.
Does yours have an obvious scent to it?
Actually, no. I would say no. I mean, it's not like I'm getting, you know, citrus hops or anything. I'm not getting anything obvious, but in a way that's good because this is clean and this is something I can drink on a Saturday afternoon when my boyfriend's doing the lawn and that makes me tired.
Are you getting like any like biscuit, malt, like bready, malty?
No malt.
Nothing?
See, that's I get the bready biscuity type off the mama's little yellow pills.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what you're supposed to get with a Pilsner, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting with the Urquell.
Gil?
I'm not really sure what this is.
A resident expert. Are we supposed to be getting that off our Pilsners?
Gil can't hear.
He's not here right now.
Frozen.
Oh no.
Where is he? Is he at home?
No, we lost. He's
somewhere,
we lost
in, somewhere in North Carolina.
Is he at a hotel? Yeah.
There he is.
Gil.
I'm sorry, Gil. I'm sorry, Gil. Did you hear the question?
Can you hear us?
He can hear us, but
there we go.
Gil, is it supposed to? Linda asked if the pilsner is supposed to be like biscuity on the nose.
That frozen smile is yes.
All right, so
a little bit, yeah, not a lot. Everything is very crispy. Pilsner don't have a lot of aroma.
That's what I said.
It's very little, very subtle.
That's what I said. I was right. I said I don't really smell it. Anything.
That's what BJ says.
I smelled clean, which is good. This may be a new favorite style for me. Because, you know, I mean, I drink a lot of beer. And so drinking a lot of stout does a number on me. So,
according to BJCP, never mind, that's 2008 guidelines. Well,
that's what I had. That's what came up.
2008 BJCP German Pilsner guideline says light, grainy pils malt character and distinctive flowery or spicy noble hops. It's sometimes like a graham cracker like nose. Clean, yeah. No fruity esters, no diacetyl. May have an initial sulfury aroma and a low background note of DMS from the pils malt. And for the Bohemian Pilsner, it says rich with complex malt and a spicy floral Saz hop bouquet. Some pleasant restrained diacetyl is acceptable, but need not be present. Otherwise, clean with no fruity esters. And then the classic American Pilsner, low to medium grainy, corn-like or sweet maltiness may be evident. Medium to moderately high hop aroma, other classic noble hops, clean lager character, with no fruitiness or diacetyl, some DMS is acceptable.
And see, I don't know which type this is supposed to be. I don't know if this is supposed to be Bohemian or Czech or what.
Well, let's find out.
I'm on their website.
Well, you have what they call the export pilsners, which are normally a little stronger. They tend to have a little more flavor and more aroma to it. It's more a modern style pilsner.
Yeah, according to Ray Beer, they just say pilsner.
Yeah, Beer Advocate says German pilsner.
Well, there you go.
But does that necessarily mean it's Czech or Bohemian or classic?
No, German pilsners are the first ones to use more refrigeration. You know, they're the ones that served more cold and stuff. Well, the original Czech pilsner, he was that's the big thing for the time when he brewed that crystal clear beer without all the techniques we have nowadays. You know, and that's why it was a big deal at the time. I can't remember his name. You know, Pilsner, you actually can, you know who made the first Pilsner and which year was made, and that's not very common for a lot of beer styles. And that's what's cool about it.
That is cool. We know exactly where it started.
I think it was 1830s or something like this. No, 1200s, 1295, something like that. But then, I think let me see if I can find it. I know there's exactly which year it was made.
Okay, Gil, why are you looking for that? I'm on Evil Twin's website looking for Lola's beer. And, you know, Evil Twin has these crazy names for their beers. This is a digression. I'm just going to put
that's
that out
okay.
there. They have a beer called Mosaic Single Hop Imperial India Pale American Wheat Lager.
That's a lot of
beans. Sounds about right. Wow.
So you'll be on style no matter what Friday night hangout it is if you bring that beer.
Exactly.
Well, I got a lot of Evil Twin this past week, and I may have that one. I got about a dozen Evil Twin beers.
Yeah, I've got to get more of their stuff. I've got a McKellar, the other twin, a Chipotle Porter in the refrigerator that I've got to open up and give a try.
So good.
Both those guys just make great beer.
Cool.
Make them brew.
Yeah. And hey, Lola, Jeffrey Davis, Florida Jeffrey Davis, he's He's watching over on YouTube, and he's linked an article. If you go over to the comments on YouTube, he's got a Jacksonville news article about the Pilsner Urquell tap stuff.
Nice.
Apparently it's there in Jacksonville somewhere. And shout out to Michael Tangens, also watching over on YouTube.
All right.
We miss you, Michael.
Yes, we do. We miss Jeffrey Davis and Michael.
Yeah, both of them, yeah. Cool.
Indeed. Come on, guys. Bless us with your presence one Friday night.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. We're here. You know how to get in. We shouldn't have to ask. We shouldn't have to beg. You know how to do this.
Yeah, even the scaredy cat here, all I had to do was ask for an invite.
Brenda, you're always invited. You know that.
So has everybody introduced their first ones?
Yeah, did we get everyone's first one?
So the first Pilsner was made on October 5th, 1842, Joseph Grohl. There you go.
It says 1842 on the collar of the Pilsner account.
Yeah.
That's the original. That was the first Pilsner made. I think he was hired by Urquell at the time, and then developed this very crispy, very light beer, which became very popular very quick.
Yeah, and the 1295 reference comes from that they first began brewing beer at all in that town, and eventually then it was 1842 when the Pilsner style was born. So they were brewing for, 500 plus, 600 plus years before they invented a style, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, after 600 plus years, I'd get pretty tired of the same beer, too.
Yeah,
because the city of Pilsen, ER on the end, it normally means from or belongs to, so Pilsner means from Pilsner, from Pilsen.
From Pilsner. Cool. Okay.
And it's good to have a non-American in the hangout to explain language to us.
Your heritage, Gil, is German, so you definitely have a leg up on us.
Yeah.
Well, my heritage is my German, French, Italian, and Portuguese. Each of my grandparents are different nationality.
Cool. So you really are a mixture.
Yeah, all of mine are Irish, Scottish, English. They're all mashed up in the same spot.
Mine are all from that island too. Irish, Scottish, and English. That's pretty much it. Mostly Irish and English.
Mine is Nigerian, Sierra Leonean.
So, Randy, did you actually drink the Urquell today? I missed that part.
Pilsner Urquell?
Yeah.
You coming tonight?
Yeah.
No.
He's a little off style tonight.
Randy is very off style.
I'm drinking a Russian Imperial Stout.
But his insights are invaluable.
I thought you were going to say invalid. I was like,
because I know Urquell got a lot of people talk about their bottles being green, and their answer was, "We sell so fast that the color of our bottles doesn't matter."
Oh. I always figured that's what Innocent Gun's motto was too, because they had these as clear bottles. Like, it don't matter. Air beer ain't going to be on the shelf long enough to go bad.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It won't see the sun. People can drink it.
That's why my kegs are clear.
We just use secondaries to sell our beer.
There you go.
Maybe Dogfish Head, they might have misjudged a little bit on Charles beer, though. They're like, ours aren't gonna be in the shelf that long. Five years later.
Charles, you had the My Antonia, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one that turned.
Yeah, that's when I turned.
Oh, okay.
I had two other Pilsners, but I pre-gamed those because I figured this was going to be my beer. So
that was you.
I really want to go back to your bottle shop and ask them, when did they got that My Antonia? Because I don't think that they came out this year at all.
I'm sure they've had it for a while. They've got a bunch of Dogfish Head stuff that doesn't come out often.
Charles, I know you may not want to say anything to them,
But oh no, I'll definitely let them. I'll let them know.
Yeah, they should not be selling a Pilsner that's been on the shelf for years. No,
they really shouldn't. They need.
I'll check with them to find it out. But yeah, they're really really good about that stuff. They just want to sell quality products. So
okay,
I have no worries about letting them. It's on the shelf, a total line here. I mean, it's still there. So if it's either fresh or it's been there for a year.
May have been there for a year.
And you put it live, so do you have like proof?
Oh yeah, we saw that. and I'm sure they remember you buying it, and they'll be like,
I could bring what's left of it over to them tomorrow, and it'll probably still pour that heavy.
Oh my god,
hot.
That hot, yeah.
Yeah. Just leave it out uncapped. It still goes over the glass.
So what are we drinking tomorrow? What are we drinking next week?
Well, right now on the schedule, next week is the ESB, the extra strong bitter, or special bitter.
My favorite.
I'm going to be off style again. I was in the store. It's not because I don't want an ESB. I just couldn't. I can't find any.
Yeah, so that's a large selection.
I feel a little guilty because I do have stores all around me that even if I can't find the one I want, I can still find something in the style.
It's going to take an inconvenient trip to Total Wine for me to find one.
Yeah, picked up a Fuller's ESB, which I've never had before, so I've got that for now, but I want to keep looking.
I had to ask. I've never... We haven't said how you can find us. How can you find us? Randy, how can you find us?
Go to our website, craftbeernation.org or craftbeernation.beer, and from there you can find all of our social media outlets, mm-hmm. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google+, and you can also find us, our podcast, Mashing Out with the Beer Fairy, Ashley Bauer, on Stitcher or any podcast forum, and our flagship show, Pints and Quarts, which airs every Thursday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, and listen to the podcast because they're really, really good. Last night we had Jeremy Danner on from Boulevard Brewing, and it was a very good show. He's a fun guy. We're definitely going to have him back on, so check out that podcast. Who's going to be on Pints and Quarts next week, Gil? Do you know, Charles?
It's the guy from Heavy Seas.
His name just escaped
me right now.
Yeah, the name escaped, losing me too. But so yeah, check it out.
All right, so we're gonna wrap this thing up. Thank you, everybody. This is Craft Beer Nation Friday Night Hangout.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.